All right, I think we'll make a start. Before we begin, just want to make a dedication. Two dedications. One dedication, obviously, as we have done for so many weeks now, for the Chayalim, that I just saw I think Channel 12 just showed how they did the rescue of the two hostages last week. Truly unbelievable. I mean, if it had been a movie, okay, I could accept it as a movie, but what they went into with gunfire going off and they took film, the whole thing, it's really nisi min hashamayim. There's no other way to describe it. So we should dedicate our learning to these very brave and amazing men and women in the army. I also want to dedicate the shiur to an old friend who passed away this week, someone in London called Michael Rabin. I don't think anyone here knew him. Maybe. No, I don't know, Jack, I don't know if you knew him from Edgware. Yeah, who was a very old friend. I've known him 50 plus years. Went Chabad, never held it against him, but he actually went in that direction a very long time ago. His son, for those who come from Boko, anything to do with Boko, is one of the Chabad rabbis in Boko Raton. Very, very fine person, and certainly will be missed in his community. Yehi Zichro Baruch, his memory be for blessing. Okay, what we are going to do today, two things. We've got to finish chapter 11, which Mitzvah Shem will be doing presently. And, as I said, I'm not going to write the epitaph for Shlomo. I'm going to leave you guys to think about that. You know, what you're going to put into the New York Times and or whatever paper you want to put it in. But we're going to try and get to grips, begin to get to grips with a character called Yeravam. Yeravam, it was designed in order to confuse the students who start learning Sefer Melachim, you know, the younger students, because you've got Yeravam and Rechavam, which in English becomes Jeroboam and Rehoboam, and they always get confused. Rechavam, the son of Shlomo, the son of Na'amah HaMonit, which is interesting. So even the king to take over from Shlomo is a son of the woman who had converted to Judaism. She was an Ammonite. She was always known as Ammonit. So that's an interesting thing in itself. And then, before that, we're going to come across Yeravam, who becomes the king of the northern kingdom of Israel. We're going to see one of the most tragic episodes probably in the history of the Jewish peoples from the ancient world, which really never got patched up till 1948. 1948, when we came together as one country, we made amends for something that had happened over 2,500 years ago when the country split. It got to the point where they actually put guards. If you draw a line, I suppose, from Tel Aviv right across the country, you would have, they called it, like the word we use, toll booths. They had places where you could cross, but yet you were very rarely allowed to go from north to south, particularly because the country had split into two countries. Clearly, by writing this, Yirmiyahu HaNavi, the author of the Book of Kings, was sending a message for all generations that, you know, we're very good at, unfortunately, breaking our connections with each other, much easier seemingly than to make those connections. Nebuch, we need a war sometimes to bring us together, and this is something that we're all very acquainted with at the moment. The only thing I can say that let's pray that this achdus, this unity, stays with us for many, many years to come. What we're going to do, we're going to take the chapter, we're just going to run through Psukim, and I apologize if this goes a little bit quick, but I just want to get through it. So we're looking at chapter 11. We're going to go from Pasuk Yudala. Okay? We know that Shlomo has, for want of a better word, to quote the American expression, messed up a lot. He's definitely done something which is extremely challenging with all the idolatry and the way we explained it, that he allowed it, even though he didn't indulge it in himself. The whole story here is very, very difficult. And as a consequence of disconnecting from God, I always see this as the midah midah, measure for measure. Disconnected from Hashem, there's a break, and as a consequence, the country will break into two parts. It sort of, you know, kind of follows on from the break that Shlomo allowed to take place between the people and Hashem, certainly between the palace and God, And as a consequence, this seems to reflect itself later on. The country itself breaks into two parts in this tragedy. We'll get to the point by chapter 13, not very long, two or three chapters from here, and there's a civil war which is actually not described in Sefer Melachim, but is described in Divrei HaYamir, where you're talking about 500,000 on one side and 800,000, I mean, it's like over a million Jews fighting each other. I mean, it's the most scary scenario that you could ever imagine. And again, I think we need to be aware of this, and obviously, Michlalav, Atashemehem, from the negative, you learn the positive, not to get to that stage. And we're coming to all of this very soon. Bear with me a little bit with the Psukim, because I just want to get through this, and particularly think about Yerovam. He's going to be the focus, hopefully. We'll get a little bit done with Yerovam today, and Mitzvah, we'll finish that next week. Pasuk Yudal, listen to this. Yochem Hashem Satan Neshlomo. The word Satan, right? Not the Christian concept. Satan means an impediment, an enemy, right? Sometimes we say, well, says Satan Mufanei, we say Mara. Satan, a spiritual barrier. Remove the spiritual barriers from before us. Here it literally means someone who's going to come against us. Who is the Satan, the Shlomo? Who's going to be the enemy? Et Hadad Adomi. Guy we never heard of. Guy called Hadad. What's his story? He's Zerah HaMelech Ubedom, one of the family of the kings of Edom. Now listen to this. And it's a wild story. Vayhi b'yog David et Edom. We're given the background. David and the whole fight. You've got to go back to Shmuel Bet. You'll see it over there. But Lord Yoav Satsaba, when Yoav was still alive, Yoav was David's cousin, and he was the head of the army. The Kaber to Chalalim, and they went there to bury the corpses, people who were killed in that battle. And what had happened? Vayach kol Zachar be'Edom, right? And what had happened? Yoav had killed all the men of Edom. And the Gemara, I'm smiling because it's one of the famous quirks of our what's coming up in the next few weeks, the special Shabbatot, Shabbat Zachor. And we all know Zachor, Zecher, we get the chazan to repeat it. I was in yeshiva here and they did it four times, Yemenite pronunciation, and I don't know, Hasidish, and what they did in the end. It's very strange. But what the Gemara says is that when Yoav learned the pasuk about Timcha as Zecher Amalek, and of course he had the Torah without vowels, he read it Timcha as Zachor Amalek, ripe up all the males. And this is the story which has been referred to here, that when Yoav had this battle with the people in Edom, he wiped out Kol Zachor, all the men, right? Killed all the men in Edom. It's very, very strange story that is being referred to in the Gemara, I think, Baba Batra, around about page 20, 21, somewhere over there, it talks about that Ayin Shom. It's just a strange rehash of a pasuk, the way that Yoav read it, and it was wrong. The reading was not correct. But that's what he understood, the message, and he went to kill all the males. Edom, essentially, connected to Amalek. That's the way he saw it. Amalek is a descendant of Esau. Pasuk Tetzayin, Kisheshech Hadashim Yoshav Shom Yoav Kol Yisrael. Yoav was there for 6 months. Ad Ichrit Kol Zachar Be'edom. He cut off all the, destroyed all the males in Edom. This is a story going back into Shmuel Bet. Vayivrach Adad. Sometimes called Hadad, and here it's called Adad with an Aleph. I'm not sure why it's the change, but that's, I think it's the same guy. Who v'anashim edomiyim yavdei aviv ito levom Yisrael. So the people who were running away from the battle with Yoav, the Edomites, they ran to Egypt. V'hadad na'katan. This Hadad was very young. Right? So I think the father was Adad with an Aleph, and the son was Hadad with the Hey. How confusing can that be? Pasuk Yudchet. I got a reaction there. Vayakuma Midian, Vayavo Paran. So they came from Midian to Paran. Vayikuana Shimi Mami Paran, Vayavo Mitzrayim and Paro Melech Mitzrayim. They came to Egypt. Right? Now Egypt, remember, is connected to Shlomo by Paro. So Egypt essentially is in a state of peace. There's a peace treaty. And you know, these overtones, these historical overtones are really quite scary. Because we're talking about all of this stuff all over again now. Literally, day by day. But there, this was the peace treaty 2,500 years ago. So what happened? Vayitenlo bayit, Paro decided, I'm going to give these refugees some sort of a house. Vayilechem amar lo, vayeretz natan, I gave him a piece of land, bread, he supported him. Right? They ran away from the battle and they got to Egypt. Now look what happened. Yutet. Vayimtza hadad chein b'enei Paro mo'od. At this point, Hadad, Paro liked him very much. What's the ultimate? He makes a shidduch, right? Which again is in contrast to what happened with Shlomo, right? It's just the parallels there are really quite scary. Achot, who was the this woman? Achot Tachpanes Agvira. She was the sister of Tachpanes, who was presumably married to Pharaoh. Fine. So this guy Adad married this lady, this Egyptian lady. Vateledo Achot Tachpanes Eit Gnuvat Bano. I love their names. Right, who would call their son Ganav, but obviously they didn't see anything wrong with it. Vatig Maleu Tachpanes. I remember once we had a delegation in New Jersey from a fireman and policeman from the Harir. My wife worked in the Federation. And one guy comes in, and we asked him, what's your name? He said, Jihad. I thought, whoa, okay, this is interesting. They came for Friday night dinner. He wasn't Jewish, a Druze. Lovely, lovely guy, a fireman up in Nahariya, around that area. Very interesting. So, you know, names are used, which I think we would have slight problem using them, but a guy called Jiha was sitting at the Friday night dinner. Go figure that one. And it's B'toch Beit Paro. It's all happening in the house of Pharaoh. But he, G'nuvat Beit Paro, B'toch B'nei Paro. And he was amongst the sons of Pharaoh. Obviously, the illusion, you know, one thinks back to Moshe, how he grew up. And here we're having a kind of parallel, but obviously with a much more different outcome. Posuk Kavalah, v'hadad shama b'Yisrael ki shechav David im amoto. Firstly, he heard that David is gone. Chimet Yoav sar tzava, and the general is gone. Right? You know, this Yoav had a phenomenal reputation. And again, what does it remind me of? It reminds me of people like Arik Sharon. You know, after the Yom Kippur War, the whole story how he got out of they were surrounded. Right? There was a whole story about his unit and how they fought their way out. Unbelievable stories about Arik Sharon, if you don't know them. Certainly worth reading. And very sad how in the end, how things played out. But certainly a gibor, a hero of the Israeli army, for sure. And in those days, Yoav was feared by everybody. But Yoav hadal paro, shacheni ve'elech alatzi. So Adam wants to go home at this point. He said, obviously, he's got a plan. But Yoav lo paro, ki ma ata chosei mi? So Pharaoh said, you know, why do you want to leave? You got everything you want here. You want to go home? He said, no, no thanks. In other words, you know, I do want to go home, but please send me. And that was enemy number one. And enemy number two is coming in a different form to Shlomo. Et Razon ben Eliada, guy called Razon, Asher Barach, Meit Hadad Ezer, Melech Tzova, Adonav, who'd run away in another battle from a guy called Hadadezer. I mean, these guys are coming out of the woodwork. All of a sudden, all the enemies are beginning to rear their ugly heads. Kavdalev, Veikbots, I think I'm just running through the story. It's such an interesting story, right? Very much Derech Aga, but look what's going on here. I'm not even sure if I want to say this, but I suppose I have to. There, in the Middle East, there are old scores which never seem to get settled. Right, certainly amongst the enemies of Israel, they carry scores with them, which you know, 75 years old. What you hear all the time, you know, and that was 75 years ago, you know, and you had opportunities to put something right, and they never did. Right, Abba Ibn said they'd never miss an opportunity to miss an opportunity. And this is what they seem to be doing all the time, the enemies, and this is what we're suffering from at the moment. Look at this, Kavdala Vayikbot Salav Anashim. So at this point, there's men going with this guy Razon. What happened was that there was a whole story with David. They had a battle and they got killed, a whole bunch of them. So one group went off to Egypt, another group went off to Damascus. And they took over Damascus. So it's coming from two ends, from north and from south. I mean, again, the parallels are scary. In other words, things started to go bad. And Kol Yimei Shlomo, meaning after the peace and the tranquility, things started to fall down. Remember that expression which Rivka used about Esau? She was in a situation of detesting, as he says the translation there. This guy detested the Jews and he was the king over Aram. Basically, what's happening is there's an army forming in the north, and there's an army forming in the south. Wow. In the middle of all of this, here comes this character, the Jewish character, that will give us absolute apoplexy. It's the only way I can describe it. Kava, Yeravam ben Nevat Ephrati. Ephrati, some say, means he's from Ephrat. He's from Beit Lechem. Some say Ephrati means a prince, someone high up in the hierarchy of Shlomo's court. And he was working in the palace.
Also, I think it could be from Ephraim, or it wasn't from Ephraim.
From Ephraim, yeah. I think there's a suggestion. I think that's the accepted thing, but of course, you know, where he lived and where he functioned, it could be Ephrati from around Ephraim, as we would know Ephraim today. Right. Or Ephrati has got the sense of a prince, of someone very much a dignitary. Ephratim, correct. So it's coming from all different angles here. Look what it says. Min Sereda, he's from Sereda, okay, whatever that is. Shemimot Serua, his mother was called Serua. Think about the connection with the word Saraz, right? The same root, Sadi Resh Ayit. And therefore the rabbis have a play on that. We're going to look at that in a minute. Isha Almana, his mother was a widow. Eved Shlomon, he was a servant of Vayorim. Yad Bamela. Now, very interesting. Literally means he raised his hand against the king. So the rabbis say, Vayorim Yad, look at Rashi. Ochicho Barabim. He started making a tochacha, he started a campaign against the king in public. He started complaining about Shlomo and making a, you say in Yiddish, he made a tumul against Shlomo. Unbelievable. And what did he do? Kav Zayin. It's such an unbelievable story. So what did he actually complain about? Remember this whole era we explained. Shlomo built a whole space, which was an open space where the Ole Rego could come, and they could pitch their tents, and they would have somewhere to stay when they came up to Shalayim, Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. And what did Shlomo do eventually? Sagar Peretz Ir David David. Shlomo closed all the openings to the city of David from the Milo because he gave the Milo to Bat Paro. She basically turned it into her private garden or whatever you want to call it. That's one of the interpretations. There's a whole Rashi here about that. It uses the word Ingaria. There's a big discussion what the word Ingaria means. That it seems to be that she either kept some sort of guard of honor in this place. Oh, there's a whole bunch of different explanations, but basically, and Yeravam had a point. He said this was a public ground. This was a place which was open to the public, and Shlomo blocked it all in for the sake of Bat Paro. Unbelievable. Vayish Yeravam Gibor Chayana. Yeravam was a stark mensch, right? And he saw Yeravam made an impression that he was a good worker. And he pointed him over the schleppers, over the workers of Beit Yosef. Remember, the workforce was divided into sort of monthly groups. And coming to the Beit Mikdash to build it initially, and presumably afterwards to maintain it, I'm assuming. And Yeravam was a very good person. He was the point person in this story. The foreman. He was the foreman. Now, Kavtet. Vahi ba'eitahi v'ram yatsam Yerushalayim. Yeravam has started a whole tumult. He's got to run away. Right? He's not persona grata anymore. Vayimtsa oto Achia Shiloni. All of a sudden, a new guy. A guy called Achia from Shiloh. Shiloni comes from Shiloh. Hanavi. And he's a prophet that we have never heard of before, and really, we're not going to hear of again. But Derech, he's on the way after Yeravam is running towards Jerusalem. He runs into Achia Shiloni. For whom it kaseb salmach adashai, he's wearing some sort of new cloak. The rabbis say this is probably Achia Shiloni's garment. Could be Yeravam's, but it seems to be Achia's garment. We'll see in a minute, there's a discussion. Ushaneim levadam basadeh, they're both alone in the field. What happened? At this point, Achia grabbed the garment, either his own garment, which he was wearing, or possibly Yeravam's garment, but and tore it into 12 strips. Right? Now again, the rabbi says it's probably his own garment because of issues of Baal Tashkis. You know, he's not going to rip up somebody else's garment, especially in those days where clothing was particularly, you kept the clothes for a long time. Lamed Aleph, strange, this is really strange way of greeting him. hello, give me your jacket, and he rips it into 12 parts. But Lamadal, Bayoli Ravam, Kach Lecha Sarakum, and he said to Ravam, here's 10 for you and 2 for me. Right? Very strange message here. Ki Koam Hashem Lekei Yisrael, and of course Achir was conveying a message from Hashem. Hinani Koreat Amamlacha Miyad Shlomo. Remember now, no longer Melech is used in the description of Shlomo. He's been demoted to plain Shlomo at this point, and the kingdom is being ripped from him. Benatati Lecha Tasar Shvatim. I'm giving you 10 tribes. You have to say, although you're Ravam, we know his reputation. I think we've all heard of it. From Pirkei Avot, Elem Chelik L'Olam Haba, and he's on the list, right? So that means he was pretty bad. He hasn't got a portion of the world to come, because Kol Yisrael Yesh Lem Chelik L'Olam Haba. So to get out of that, he must have been really bad. And yet, here he is, the man who's going to take over the Northern Kingdom, and he's been promised by Achiyah. So there seems to be merit. What we're going to find out is that there is a tremendous paradox in the whole character of Yeravam. It's going to really be difficult to explain, and I'll leave you to fathom it out, because I can't give a rational explanation. But there's a lot to say about that. We'll come to that a little bit already today. Just want to finish the chapter. Listen to this. Lamed bet. Vashevet echad yelo leman avdi David. And he's promised there's going to be one tribe left to produce the kingly line, the dynasty of David. In fact, it's two tribes, Yehuda and Binyamin together. Ulaman Yushalayim, Ha'ir Hashem Bechatiba, and they're going to stay around Jerusalem. Mikol Shutei Yisrael, from all the tribes of Israel. 10 disappear, 2 are going to stay loyal to Yushalayim. It's unbelievable. Lamed Gimel. All of this because of what happened with Shlomo allowing the women to serve idolatry. Possibly also because of Shlomo's very cavalier attitude to a lot of the mitzvot, which he said don't really apply to him. As we've said before, that's a whole discussion on its own. But listen to this. Lamed Gimel. Certainly attributes it to the bowing down to Ashtoret, the idol of the Tzidonim, the Kamosh, the Imam, and Kamosh, the god of Moab, Milcom, which was Molech, which was with the worst, the Lehi B'nei Amon, of the Ammonites, the Holcho B'drachai, and the message from Hashem was, they didn't go in my way, Laso de Yashar Be'inai, to do what is correct, what is straight in my eye, Hukotai Mishpatai Kedomid Aviv, and he didn't follow the commandments like David. Pretty condemning. V'lo ekach et kol ha'malacha miyodo, but Shlomo, I'm going to leave something in his hand. I appoint him as a leader, as a prince, as a king. Everything was because of David. In the end, everything that Shlomo merited was in the merit of his father. You could argue in his own merits to a certain extent, but everything really boiled down to, in this case, the chut avod of David HaMelech. Asher b'charti oto, asher shama misotai kukatai, because David, there was no question, all he followed the line, he kept the mitzvot and the chukim. Laman hey, just going to finish the chapter. V'lokach dam lucha miyad v'no, but the son, he's losing the kingdom. Tatia l'chai, taset shvatim, and you, Yerubam, are going to be the king of the 10 tribes. Unbelievable. V'livno etein shevet achad, to his son, meaning to the son of Shlomo, there'll be one tribe, which is actually two in one, as we know. Lemani of near the David David, there's got to be some sort of remnant for David. Kol hayamim lefanai b'Yerushalayim ha'ir asher b'charti li lasum shmi sham, and therefore Jerusalem will carry on with the dynasty of David. V'otcha ekach u'malachta b'chol asher t'menashecha, but you, Yeravam, you can do whatever you want outside this parameter. V'yitol melech al Yerushalayim ha'Yisrael, you'll become the new king over the kingdom of Israel. Malchut Yisrael, the northern kingdom. Lamedche, unbelievable. And of course, this is, at the moment, suggesting he's a good guy. If you follow what I command you, Allah b'drachai, v'asita yashar meinai, you'll do everything which is correct. Lishmor chukotai mitzvotai, to keep the mitzvah in contrast to Shlomo, who was just criticized for not doing so. Kasher asah David avdi, and you'll follow the ways of David. There's a fantastic midrash about Yeravam in relation to David HaMelech, which we may get to today, but certainly Mitzvah Hashem next week. V'hayiti imach u'baniti l'chabayit ne'eman, kasher baniti l'David, and you'll have a dynasty, in this case, Bayit Ne'eman, the expression we use at a wedding, right? Bayit Ne'eman be'Yisrael, the Eretz Yisrael, as the people say here. And of course, the idea of a dynasty, meaning, you know, please God, there will be a house that will continue for many generations. And that's one of the interpretations. Kasher baniti leDavid, as I built for David, untati lechad Yisrael, and you will run the Jewish people in the north. Va'anet zera David leman zot achlo kol yomim, and David's descendants will be afflicted. This is really a warning of bad things to come. Meh. Vayevakesh Shlomo lamited Yeravam. Now Shlomo heard about Yeravam, didn't know about all his revelation, but he heard that Yeravam had run away, so he tries to catch him. Vayokel Yeravam. Vayevrach Mitzrayim. They're all running to Egypt, right? Egypt is the safe haven. El Shishak Melech Mitzrayim. Vayev Mitzrayim ad Mot Shlomo. And Yeravam was there till the death of Shlomo. And look at this ending. How sad. You know, you would expect that the end of Shlomo, some sort of fantastic epitaph, as I said, some hesped, and look what it says. Mem Alan. V'yetzidivrei Shlomo, v'chol asher asa, v'chochmato, all of the wisdom. Alohem ketuvim, asefer divrei Shlomo. There was a book of divrei Shlomo. In other words, we did not, in the end, preserve most of his work. We have three books of Shlomo, right? We have Shir HaShirim, which they claim he wrote when he was very young. We have Mishle, Midlife Crisis, and then we have Kohelet right at the end. Okay, and that's according to one opinion. There are other opinions when he wrote them. And that's it. That's all that's preserved. Look at Membet. Bayamim Asher Malach Shlomo Yerushalayim, Makol Yisrael Abim Shana. He was a king for 40 years. Vayishgav Shlomo im Avotav. He was buried with his ancestor. Vayikoveh Be'er David, Aviv. They're still looking for the graves. It's coming. They'll find it. Vayimloch Rechavam Beno Tachtav. And we're going to move into Rechavam territory, as we will see, Mitz Hashem, in the next few weeks. Yeah.
Why do we have any books from Shlomo of Wayne with my Benjamin?
Yeah. The answer is... You know what? It's a much bigger question. Rav Shechter wrote a whole piece from YU, and the question was asked to him that there are rabbis who have produced books over the last 30, 40 years, and unfortunately their own personal behavior has let them down. All right, without getting into too many details, but there was one in Israel, there's been a couple in America. One in Israel could have been chief rabbi. His whole behavior was just unbelievable. Wrote Sfarim, he wrote everything, and he was literally excommunicated from the community. So the question that Rav Shechter tries to deal with is, what do we do with the books? Do we just put the books into Seamus or not? And this guy, Waldo, if you remember from 2 years ago, who was found out from Bnei Brak, who was such a disgusting individual, and I don't mind going on tape saying it, because he really was below any level that we could ever imagine. Those books, I think it was decided by many people, the books that many people had in the home, you chuck them away. Right? I saw one in Shul a few weeks ago, from one of the kids' libraries. I took it and put it in the garbage. You can't. You just can't keep that book in the library. However, when you have a book coming from someone that originally was persona grata, he had the credentials, and then unfortunately lost it, what do you do with the Kiddushei Torah? I think Rav Shechter writes, it was in the Jewish Action magazine, I don't remember that, but I think he said there's room to allow the book to be present, right? One would have mixed feelings about it. Right, and I know you're nodding your head, and I agree with you. What do you do with those kedushin?
He hoped to have the greatest wisdom of any writing.
Correct, and he let himself down. He really let himself down. So, what do you do? Do we throw Shir HaShirim out? Do we throw Kehelet out? You know, the rabbis had a big discussion about them. They wanted to put Shir HaShirim aside. They wanted to put Kehelet aside for different reasons. Rabbi Kiva came along and said, Shir HaShirim, Kodesh Kodshim, it's the holiest of holies, and he kind of decided the issue. Right, we don't look at it that Shlomo should be sidelined because of the behavior. Although, according to what we read now, maybe that's a reason, another reason why they wanted to put it away, and not it should be not become public property. But reality is, we have the books. So I guess, you know, it's one of those very. I'm telling you, it's a big controversy, depending how you pronounce it, in the Jewish world. What do you do with books from these types of individuals who? Let's use the euphemism, let the side down very badly. Right? And it's a question. I don't know. As I said, that Rav Shechter wrote about it, I have to look at the article again. It was a few years ago.
It's not really a question on Shlomo, though, because...
It's a big question.
It's not because we... Like you said last week, Chazal sort of
sort of gloss over, they smooth over his deficiencies.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you want to see the good. And did, you know, in the end, if Shlomo let the side down, it wasn't as bad as someone in his own personal life who really misbehaved, you know, and was involved with abuse and God knows what. So I don't think Shlomo's accused of that.
We have Shlomo as like one of the Shvizin. It's not,
he's not on Shvizin. He's not on the list. He really isn't.
Song.
It's interesting. I don't think so. I think you stop
right,
at Dovid. He's mentioned in one Mishabera, Shlomo.
Only,
one Mishabera. Otherwise, he's not there. He's not in the Tefillah.
You can't do that.
You can't dismiss him. I know. I agree with you. You're absolutely right. You can't dismiss him. But on the other hand, we have to, I think, what when you learn the story of Shlomo, you get a bit of a reality.
No, for sure, but I'm saying your conclusion has to be from Chazal and the Gemara that Shlomo was a holy person.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Books are
yeah.
Not like these other...
Not like these other judges. La Havda, I mean, I agree, absolutely. But what I'm saying is that the question was leading into that discussion, and it's a big shy.
Just a thought.
Yeah.
And I've still never seen this anywhere, and I don't have any support for the argument given for Kohelet, keeping it in, is that because it begins with Yiras Hashem and it ends with Yiras.
Yeah, it's
maybe that's a marshal for Shlomo. He went off the rail. Maybe, it doesn't say so in the text, but maybe after this devuah that was going to happen, he actually did teshuvah. You know,
yeah.
Got his act back to him.
Yeah, it's so.
And therefore, you know, from that point of view, that one's like. And if you wrote Shira. I mean, it sounds as if you're okay at right at the end of his life, after all this.
Yeah, yeah.
And it could be that's what
Chazal
was hinting at.
Yeah.
You know, he got it back together.
Yeah, he got his act together.
But the damage was done already.
Yeah, that's true. It's so interesting when you actually read this stuff and you come to terms with Shlomo. And again, there's a famous Gemara. The Gemara is not about, I think it's about Yeravam, it's also about King Menashe. King Menashe was known, famous for his idolatry. That's what everybody knows him for. There's a discussion whether he did teshuva or not, but there's a whole thing by itself. But what happened was, Abaye, who was like 1,000 years after Menashe, was giving a shiur in Babylon somewhere. And he says, Menashe, what a terrible king, and he starts going on about it. And then in the night after he gave the shiur, Menashe comes to him in a dream. And he says, Rabbi Abaye, I really have to tell you two things. Number one, you have no idea what you're talking about, because I can learn you under the table, as they say. And he then proceeds to tell him all of the incredible novel thoughts that he has in one of the areas of Torah. And then he says to him, if you would have been around at the time of idolatry the way I was, says Menashe to Abaye, you would have run quicker to serve the idol than anybody else, because you could not have resisted it. And therefore, what I'm scared of doing is saying, nixing Shlomo completely, because I don't want him to come in a dream and start telling me, you know, what I said was out of line. So I that's why I put this caveat into the whole discussion. He's not the same as what we were talking about before, but it throws up questions. We really do have questions in the end. If, and I on purpose stayed away from the Gemara and Gittin, have a look at that Gemara, what is it, page 68, 69, the whole story with the demons and how Shlomo tries to conquer the world of demons, and eventually he's bereft and he's left completely penniless, and he's you know, Valzacharim, as you say in Yiddish, he's wandering around, not really taken in by anybody. It's a whole strange story. As I said, the epitaph on Shlomo is very difficult. The jury is out, right? You know, the famous Oscar Wilde thing that they wrote his obituary and he wasn't dead, right? So he sent a letter to the London Times saying the reports of my death have been greatly exaggerated, you know, and that's really the way he dealt with it. You know, when you read your obituary after this, what are you going to say? I don't know. I really don't know. When it comes to Shlomo, yesh v'yesh. I mean, there's no question that in Chochma there was nothing like it. But is that the be-all and end-all of Jewish life, that somebody has got great Chochma? I don't think so.
Chochma was just a document. There's knowledge,
yeah.
And there's wisdom.
Yeah, correct.
And I say he lacked wisdom,
yeah.
But he had knowledge.
Yeah, he had knowledge. We said last week the whole emphasis on chapter 11 was lay, right? The wisdom, the mind was incredible, but the heart was like everybody else. As they say in expressions which are used today, it's like every other guy in the street. Meaning, you know, if he falls in with a bad crowd, with a bad influence, that's it, he's done. And that seems to be Shlomo's issue, and it's just fascinating. fascinating character, someone that we don't expect to be so mixed in terms of our feelings about him till now. I mean, I hope I haven't spoiled your lunches or whatever you've had since lunch. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to upset anybody here, but we've got real about Shlomo.
Isn't that a tremendous indictment of the Malucha in general?
Yeah.
One after the other bad.
Yeah, once it goes bad. And again, it was my favorite exam question. I got some great answers, you know. Kingship in Israel, a failure, discuss. And I got some very, very strong answers, you know, going in both directions. There were kings who did save the day, Yoshiyahu and Chizkiyahu, they tried to bring it back. Once it starts going down, it really, it's like a snowball effect. And
it's Meshach Chochmah, the only true good form of government is monarchy.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing
yeah, but it's not. But the reality is that the human element, and particularly the challenges and the temptations, were horrendous. And by the time we're going to get kings who lasted for 7 days. I mean, it's going to get that bad, right? You know, a guy called, what was his name? Zimri, I think his name was. 7 days. Unbelievable. And this all goes really, it falls apart.
Why would you say that? Say that the problem was the Malchus, rather just. They were just human beings who were failures.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But by putting into position a Malchus, particularly in the north. It was such a wild west. It was a wild north. I mean, it really was out of control up there.
You're saying once it split, it was a failure.
Once it split, particularly, then the north just went from bad to worse. It really did.
But Shlomo is in many ways a failed manner. But yet we lionize him when we teach kids.
Shlomo we have to. That's what I'm saying. Shlomo Melech is very challenging. And you know what? Your Avam is going to be very challenging. I just, again, I'm looking at the time, and I'm sure Rabbi Fine will be here. Just want to read you one thing over here. The page I sent out, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing, just the first paragraph. Because he already, this is from a Sefer Sigu Siach, by Naviyim. It's a gentleman from Antwerp who wrote a very nice Sefer on Sefer Malachim. And I'm just going to read the first paragraph. Please don't lose this, and we're going to come back to it next week. Just want to read the first paragraph. When it talks about your Avam. Listen to this, because on purpose I'm pushing Shlomo to one side because I'm struggling to try and, you know, keep him on the pedestal that we've all had him on, which he is on a pedestal, but not quite the pedestal that maybe we thought it was. But listen to this. What do we say about your Avam, the introduction? HaPeirush HaPashut, you've got the first page where at the top it says, who is your Avam? Peirush HaPashut Efrati Eino Shem Toa Elabal Tzayen Shu Mishevet Ephraim. Like we said, he was from the tribe of Ephraim. Ulam, Ita bin Rashim, Echenu Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. There's a whole midrashic approach. Shekol nasi v'gadol shamat b'Israel. Any prince that stood amongst Israel, Nikra Shemo Ephrati. Ephrat, it's a sign of being a prince. So if your Avam is called Ephrati, he's a pretty solid character. Shenema, and what's the proof? Your Avam ben Avat Ephrati. V'David ben Yishai Ephrati. David was also called Ephrati. David also wasn't Ephraim, he was from the tribe of Yehuda. Ela ben Paltini ben Malachim, the son of kings. Migdoli Hador Hoya. So that's your Avam. On the one hand, your Avam, unbelievable. V'cheinema, v'yikachlo kalev et Ephrat, v'telelo et Chur. Another proof about what he was saying. V'lama nikra shemo shemirim Ephrat, Paltini. But Malachim, Miriam was also the daughter of kings. Fine. Migdoli hador dahainu shemitzad echad tiarot Yeravam benavat lishvak adam chashuv. So now we've seen Yeravam, our initial impression, an amazing guy. Avam, here comes the challenge. This is going to be the paradox. Mitzad sheni, on the other hand, and this is started already by Shlomo in his own way, but it gets so much more extreme with Yeravam. Mitzad sheni matzina shepirish Rashi. Rashi says in Divrei Yomim, et shem imo lignai. What was his mother's name? Zel shono. Rashi says tsarua. I pointed out tsaras from the expression of leprosy. Lefi shemet matamei ba'ohel. Someone, a dead body in a tent makes the whole area tamei. V'chein matzora kamoken, and matzora does the same. So Yeravam has a reputation of being like a matzora, causing impurity in the Jewish people. V'chein avodat kochavim, similarly referring to idolatry. Isha almana she'ilmein Yisrael melakah, that he is responsible for making the Jews disconnect from God. Menhat Sereda, they take all of the description that we just read. Nira Sheheitzar HaTorah V'lo Yechiva. He limited Torah. He didn't expand Torah. He basically, Mitzarim, he put boundaries on Torah. Heitzar Dat Elokeinu. He caused the religion to literally go out of sync. He made sukkahs. If you know the story, he made sukkahs in Cheshvan. Right? He didn't want the Jews to go to Yerushalayim from the north. So he made sukkahs. He decided that he was going to change the luach and he was going to make sukkahs. And same holiday, same period of time, a month later than everybody else.
It's
unbelievable.
The hotels were cheap.
And of course, it's good for the hotels. It's got definitely got. He had a good deal with the Inbal, I'm sure. But the reality was, you know, parallel Judaism. I spoke about this in college. I said, you know, you're a mom trying to create a parallel universe. It's interesting, again, thinking about the history of Reform Judaism, what they tried to do at the beginning. There are elements here, but again, is it really comparable? We'll see. We'll leave that for next time. Look what he says. The next paragraph. Well, hey. בפסוקים שונים על פי פירושי חז"ל, מצינו מעלות מצוינות שהיו בירבה מצד אחד, on the one hand, על המיילס, that you can imagine, all good things, ומצד שני, הוא הראש, he's the most evil person. Wow, he's living in a very mixed, what's the word? It's a dichotomy, I don't know what word you're going to use, there's a psychological expression for him. והדוגמה השלילית ביותר, של אדם שחטא, who's the worst person to lead everyone astray, according to the rabbis, שהיו רבים מלכי ישראל, שחיכו אותו, many, many kings tried to copy him, והלכו בדרכיו הנלזות, they followed his terrible ways, ועליו נאמר ללא חולק שאלוקיך למבא. In other words, the jury is out, and it will remain out for the next couple of weeks. We're going to try and come to terms with the rabbi. There's a fantastic, something to look forward to, a fantastic piece from Chaim Shmulevitz, Zichron Livroch, the Rosh Yeshiva Mir, which is on one of these pages. I think I sent it out. I'll just check. If not, you'll get another page, Mitzvah Hashem, over the weekend. And we're going to do a little bit of a workup on Yeravam. Try to understand in the bottom line about Shlomo. I leave you to write the epitaph. I don't know what I'm going to say in the end. I'm always conflicted when I finish Shlomo. What was great was incredibly great. What was not so great, I leave you to decide. Everybody, have a great week. See you next week. Thank you so much.